Please follow along as I'm reading from Luke chapter number 2, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the child came, for the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Right. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand. Now, don't grab him, just look at him. Look at your neighbor, but when you're looking at your neighbor, hug yourself. Look at your neighbor, but hug yourself. Look at your neighbor, but hug yourself and say, "Neighbor,
you are in
a blessed place.
Neighbor,
you're in
a blessed place."
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "You're in a blessed place." Have you ever found yourself going someplace and you ended up not where you expected? And while you were there, you was annoyed while you were there, getting frustrated while you were there, but before you knew it, God was using you to provide ministry to someone. That is saying something that we have to realize. If you truly are guided by the will of God, you will find yourself sometimes in places that you didn't expect. But while you are there, God has you there for a reason. Now, then my mind drifts and I go to this biblical account of the birth of the Savior of the world. His name is Jesus, meaning Jehovah saves. God saves. And as we're seeing this, we are excited. But then I think, Reverend Flippin, about Mary and Joseph. What I think about them is that Mary was told, and we know it, we done preached about it a few weeks ago, she was told she was highly favored. She is to be the one to birth the Messiah, the Savior, the anointed one. And we see when she sees Elizabeth, Elizabeth tells her that, you know, you are blessed and highly favored. I can see God all over you and what he's doing in you. But still, she had to tell Joseph, because they have not yet come together as one. All right. And when she tells him, God deals with that. Yes, he does. And after they had went over that particular hurdle, what happened is that he wanted to divorce her. Angel spoke to him in a dream. He rethought it, changed his mind, and told her, "We're getting married, because God is trusting us." And now that they have come together and they're excited, you know, I can see, Reverend Herndon, how Mary begins the process of preparing their home in Nazareth, and preparing, especially now that she's in her ninth month, she's starting the nesting process to make sure everything is in place and how this is going to be here and this is going to be there. But then something happens. What happens is that the Caesar, the Emperor Augustus, Says, I need to count all my folks so I'm getting everybody's taxes. And in order to do that, I need everybody to go back where they're from. And I'm going to count everybody. Go back to your lineage, to your heritage. And we're seeing that they had to travel roughly 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means house of bread. And we're seeing that while she's in her ninth month, she's got to travel 80 miles. And since she has so far to travel, it is now putting her in a situation in her ninth month, wondering that, Lord, I'm not going to be able to get back to Nazareth in time. Lord, you said I'm blessed and highly favored. And now that I know who I am and how others know who I am, why do I have to travel at this time? Why couldn't it be a few months from now? Why couldn't it have been early? But now doesn't appear to be a good time. And now she has to travel, and it doesn't say, but she probably was riding on a beast of burden while Joseph was holding the donkey, and they're going real slow. And every time that donkey starts getting a little bumpy on the ride, she's fussing at Joseph. What are you doing up there? Come on, now this donkey is doing something back here. Some of y'all brothers know what I'm talking about when you ride in the car, but we ain't gonna go there. Don't just rub your eye. But I know you're winking at me because you know we're together. If you understand what I'm saying, but as we see what occurs now, when they finally make their way to Bethlehem, the house of bread. We're seeing that they get there, it's wall-to-wall people. And they have no housing. And now they can't find no housing because, as we see, there's no room for them in the inn. That means that nobody had no vacancies. Everywhere they went, it was a no vacancy. Everywhere they went, ain't nothing happening. Everywhere they went, we can't do nothing with you. And because of that, we're seeing that they now find themselves in a stable. And now that they're in the stable, what is happening is that all of a sudden, Mary's water breaks. So while they're in the stable, I want you to know that Mary is looking at where they are and saying, I don't see this truly as being a blessed place. And because of the Lord, because Lord, how can this be a blessed place? How can I be having this baby out here with all these folk around? And I'm in all this pain. And she goes into labor and has the baby Jesus. She wraps him in the cloths and they clean out a food trough, which is a manger. They put some hay and some blankets and some cloths on it, and they laid Jesus in it. But I want you to understand something today, my brothers and my sisters. Don't you know wherever Jesus is, that is a... Oh, somebody working with me. Don't you know wherever the Lord is, that is a... blessed place. You see, what we have to realize and recognize that the Jesus whom we serve was born in a place that nobody wanted to envy. But wherever the Lord is, he makes it up. You see, my brothers and my sisters, many of us don't realize how blessed we are, because many of us see our lives just like that stall that they were in. It's a dark and smelly place. But I want you to understand something. Don't you know that the Lord invaded your dark and smelly place? Don't you know the Lord came into your dark and smelly place and he cleaned it up and made it whiter than snow? He made the walls as white and clean. It smells so fresh. Why? Because the Lord invaded your place. Don't you know wherever the Lord is, he changes the atmosphere. Wherever you find Jesus, the atmosphere has changed. Don't you know when folk walk up in this place, they should feel and sense the change in the atmosphere? Because this is a blessed place. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you know how good God is, has been, and will continue to be, you got to know that he dwells in you and he makes your place a blessed place. I know some folk gave up on you a long time ago. I know some folk still look at you funny. I know some folk wonder about you. But now that you got Jesus, you know that you are in a... You see, my brothers and my sisters, it's not enough to talk about it. We got to learn how to be about it. When you know that you are blessed and highly favored, because the only one who can clean you up was the Lord. You got to live your life which is pleasing in the sight of him, that wherever you go, you got to let your light shine. Whatever you do, you're going to glorify him, because you understand that before he came, you were nothing. You had a little smell to you, but look at what the Lord has done to you. Look at how the Lord has blessed you. You see, that's what the Advent season is all about, is that the Lord going in places nobody else would go, but he changes the atmosphere. You see, my brothers and sisters, our atmosphere has changed. Before we can talk about how the atmosphere in the building has changed, we got to be able to know how our atmosphere has changed because of Jesus. I don't cuss folk out no more because of Jesus. I can pray for those who wouldn't consider me praying for me because of Jesus. I'll help folk who I know wouldn't help me because of Jesus. I'm going to focus on the positive rather than the negative because of Jesus. I will not be overwhelmed by the obstacle, but I'm going to thank God because I know that there is an opportunity. You see, you got to know that your atmosphere has changed. And I'm not talking about Febreze, y'all. I'm talking about Jesus. There's a sweet smell that the Lord puts on us, that when folks see us and when we get close to them, they get the aroma of who we represent. They realize that there's something different about you. There's something that's not the same about you. You know why? Because I know that now I am in a blessed place. And what made me a blessed place? His name is Jesus. And I want you to know that once he has changed my atmosphere, he's going to use me wherever I go to change the atmosphere. That's why whenever the people of God assemble in the house of God, it is a different atmosphere, that whoever steps up in here will realize and recognize that they're now in the presence of the Savior of the world, because the atmosphere is not the same. You see, my brothers and sisters, we're not going to know how far we can go or how much we can do until we know that the Lord has blessed the place we are in. Amen. You see, and I think that the one thing that Mary was struggling with was and looking at was that this place doesn't seem that blessed right now. But what I'm saying is, if you come back next week, I'll explain even further how this place is a blessed place, and that God is going to show Mary how blessed that place really is. But what I want us to get from this today is that on Christmas morning, when you wake up, and the Lord blesses you to wake up and see another day, I want you to look in that mirror and know that you're looking at a blessed place. You're looking at a place that was once tore up from the floor up. You're looking at a place that so many folk wanted to throw away. You're looking at a place that nobody wanted to deal with. You're looking at a place that so many folk would laugh at. You're looking at a place that others would say, ain't no way I'm going to go anywhere near that place. But I thank God that he has changed the atmosphere. He has cleaned it up. He has healed me. He has delivered me. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand that I am now in a blessed place because God has changed my atmosphere? I'm not what I used to be. I thank God for what he's making me to be right now. I want you to know that you're in a blessed place. And I want you to know you didn't make the place blessed. I want you to know I ain't make the place blessed. The only one who can make it a blessed place, his name is Jesus. That's how come whenever we come up in God's house and we get around God's people, there's no way we can sit down and shut up, because I know what the Lord has done in this place. Do I have anybody else in here who know what the Lord did in their place? And since he's done it in your place, you're going to give him all glory, honor, and praise. Hasn't he been good to you? Hasn't he made a way for you? Hasn't he turned you around? Hasn't he been there with you through thick and thin? Hasn't he wiped your tears? Hasn't he continued to bless you through thick and through thin, hasn't he been there? All my brothers and my sisters, somebody ought to give God a hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're in a And what made it what it is? His name is Jesus. And there's nobody but Jesus who could do it in this place. When you think about it, how many folk gave up on you? How many folk whispered every time you walked by? How many folk didn't want, would see you and turn and go another direction? Because of the fact that you were like a stable, a dark and smelly place. Because if you ever get around somebody that don't smell too good, the first thing you do is. And after that, every time you see them, you make it a point to. Oh, but look at us now. Look at what God has done. Look at how the Lord took something that everybody else wanted to throw away. Look at how the Lord took something where everybody else didn't want to even touch. Look at how God did something where other folks said it ain't going to be worth 2 cents. But what I want you to understand right now, I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. You're now priceless. That you can't put a price on you because of the fact that the Lord has done in you what you couldn't do for yourself. He brought you a mighty long way. He's doing a great work in you right now. And now it's nobody but God. That's why while we're up in God's house, I ain't got to wait for somebody to tell me it's time to praise him. I ain't got to wait for somebody to tell me it's time to shout. I ain't got to wait for somebody to tell me to clap my hands because I know when I walk through the door, it's nobody but the Lord who has brought me a mighty long way. Nobody but the Lord who is still working on me right now. I tell you, our God is an awesome God. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Do I got anybody who really knows how good God has been to you? Don't clap because everybody else is clapping. You clap because you know it to be true, because it was nobody but God who was a blessing in your life. You are in a You are in. You are in. You are in. Why? Because the Lord came by. And since he came by, I want you to know that stable in Jerusalem. I mean, I'm not in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem. Wouldn't be the same. You know why? Because Bethlehem is the house of bread. And what's now in the house of bread is the living bread, the living water, the one who can take us and meet us and do the impossible through us. All he wants to know is, will you trust him? All he wants to know is, will you let him have you? All he wants to know is, will you let him do with you what you couldn't do for yourself? You see, my brothers and my sisters, the Lord has already said yes in your life, but you got to stop telling yourself no. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. Jesus came to bring you the yes. So what he is telling you is you got to stop telling yourself no. That no has gotten us nowhere. Did y'all catch that, right? That no has gotten us nowhere. And as long as you focus on that no, you ain't going nowhere. You see, God came and sent Jesus so that we could receive the yes. He said yes, but will you believe his yes? He said he'll fix it, but can you believe he'll do it? All the Lord is looking for are some folk who just say, Lord, here it is. I'm coming just as I am. I thought I could get it right, but every time I tried, I kept getting it wrong. Lord, I thought I could stop it on my own, but now I realize I can't do nothing right without you. So, Lord, so right now I'm going to surrender. I'm going to give it all to you because I know can't nobody fix me like Jesus. He wants to make this temple a blessed place. Just like he was making that stable to become a blessed place. My brother, my sister. How many times have you said no to God when God has constantly been saying to you, yes? And you know where you've gotten that no from? You've had so many folk who looked at you, and when they looked at you, they said no. And every time you heard them say no, at first you're like, it's going to run off me like water off a duck. But you heard it enough to the point that you stopped letting it run off of you. But you started letting it run in you. And when you started letting it run in you, then you started owning what you should have not owned at all. But it's time for you now to let go of what others tried to say you are. Stop letting others define you, because there's one who has come to redefine you. You see, I talked about it in Sunday school this morning, is that God came to make us big. So it's left up to us to stop focusing on what's small. So we got to focus on what's big, because our God is big. And as long as you're focusing on people and on what they're saying about you and how you walk and how you talk, you are caught up in what is small. God wants you to look at what is big, because our God that we serve is what? Big. Don't you know there's no limit on what our God can do in our lives? So it's left up to us to allow God to let that yes get into us and allow him to redress us from the inside out, because God has already said yes. Because how do I know that? Because Jesus came wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. That lets me know God has already said yes. Yes.